Now, welcome back from the desk of low. Now, this gentleman right here, man, this gentleman is a rare breed of an artist, man. I can see the star in him from the very first time I ever heard him rhyme, man. So, for this episode, man, he's from Eastside Buffalo. Got a lot of Buffalo cats on the show. Shout out to Esco, DJ Shay, RIP Duffel. Man, the list goes on. RIP Shay. Man, we even had the zombies on here if y'all are in tune. But so without further introduction, man, he just released his debut album, man, and this is a debut album, man. I guarantee y'all this. I have the one and only Jay Skies.
Peace, peace. What's going on with you, bro? How you feeling?
Man, we doing good, man. Man, you busy, man. You doing a lot of media.
Oh yeah, man. I've been outside, man, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, very good thing now too. Now, coming into you, I just want to jump right into your debut album, man, because like I said, I've been playing nothing else but this now. When I finished this debut album, I walked away with a feeling that I know who Jared is, as opposed from Jay Skies. Now, when you were making this album, did you set out to give that feeling to others once the album ends?
Yeah, 100%, man. I wanted to make the album just super relatable, man, and just, you know, again, like you said, you know, I wanted people to walk away with knowing who I am and, you know, things that I've overcame, and I wanted people to feel like, you know, they could really feel my story and, you know, see themselves in me. So, you know, as you go through the album, it really has a very personal feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because this is like you definitely treated it like a debut album as opposed from your other projects that you put out, because this is something that you can tell that you worked for a couple of years on. I can tell that you worked on this album for 3 years, but during that 3 years, did you quit drinking when making this album?
No, so I actually stopped drinking right before 2020. So this was in December
Oh.
of 2019. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Yeah, I stopped drinking in December of 2019.
Now, what made you actually want to actually get clear-minded and stop drinking? Because, you know, like, everybody has their vices now, too. But it actually shows within your music now, too. Because with this album, like, it seems that you were very, very focused on this one.
Yeah, man, I think you know, just weighing out the goods and the bads, man, you know what I'm saying? The pros and cons, and you know, I felt like it was really just time for me to make a change in my life, and you know, I think with a lot of things in my life, I was using alcohol as a means to like escape from whatever problems I was having, or you know, just as a way to like, you know, I guess get away from things. And I wanted to kind of start taking things head on, you know what I mean? Because it's no point in running away from any problems you have. You gotta take them head on and get them solved, man. Because otherwise, you know, they'll linger around and, you know, you'll start having other problems based on the fact that you haven't had closure with other things. So, you know, that was like the decision that I made. And I feel like it was like one of the best things I've ever done.
Hey, man, hey, congratulations on that, man, guy. I hope you keep going strong, man, because like you said, man, because once you get clear of those vices now, too, you actually see the bigger picture in life, too, as opposed to trying to escape from it.
Exactly.
Now, what I like about this album, too, I want to take it back for some time now, too, because I understand, like, you are part of a group, but this group now, I like how you still include them even on this album, too. Esco and Camo's not on it, but you got Mitch Arizona. Now, he was from the group First Class. Billy Esco, Camo Monk, a few others were in that. I was telling me about, if you could tell me a few memories from that time in your life.
Man, you know, it's been from the start, man. You know, early in my career, like I'm talking 16 years old is when I met Camouflage. And you know, I've always known Esco from about 13 years old. So, you know, we used to be at, you know, Camo Monk's house over on Watson, downtown Buffalo, over in 31, and we would be recording, man, over there at his people's crib. And they really opened up the house, the attic to us, man, to just be up there and be creative. And I remember we would always, it would be squirrels in the walls, man. And we would be recording and we would have to stop when we would hear the squirrels running around and all that, man. And, you know, that's one of the funny memories, man. I was with First Class when I did my first paid gig. We went out to Fredonia College or Fredonia University, which is like 45 minutes away from Buffalo. and we opened up for Red Cafe, and that was my first paid gig. And you know, I had the whole squad with me. You know what I'm saying? We had made multiple trips down to New York City to open up for different artists and do these coast to coast shows. And I remember it was one time we went down and we were supposed to open up for, I think it was Corey Guns at some venue. I don't know. It was like some trash venue down there in New York City. We get all the way down there and I think we might have waited about 6-7 hours, man. And they didn't let us open up. They didn't let us perform. And, you know, it was just like a lesson learned. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I've always done these different things with the bros, man. And, you know, we really made an impact here in the city because, you know, we always had like a different sound. We had a different vibe. And so, you know, a lot of the things that we used to do as far as shows or even throwing parties, like at our house, you know what I'm saying? When we had Ocho, like we always just made a big impact, man. And like, you know, we touched a lot of lives, man, in that span of like 2009 to about 2014. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people in our age group, you know, if you were, you know, around our age group or just around the homies, man, you knew about First Class and you knew what we was doing. You know what I mean?
That's kind of crazy that you brought up that house, because I watched your documentary and you even go back to your old stomping grounds too. Like, is that like somewhat like brings back a lot of memories? Like, damn, man, like we used to like go crazy. But I understand you used to be in your room half the time, like recording music when everyone was partying.
Yeah, man, it definitely brought back a lot of memories for sure. Like, you know, even going back and walking up the steps, you know what I'm saying? And just being outside on that porch, you know, it was real dope to go back and, you know, just be around for a minute and talk about all the different things we used to do there. And yeah, man, it was a crazy time in our lives, man. Like we was all so young and just, you know, really just living our lives. And, you know, we had like that chill spot where people could pull up and just have a nice time. You know what I mean? It was away from a lot of the drama and things that was going on in the city. And so we just had like that safe haven, man. You know what I mean? It was dope. It was a dope time.
Now, when you had to like fall, because I understand like you were active in music, but then you had to fall back because, you know, family and life gets in the way now too, and you couldn't do music and you were trying to find different ways to express yourself through different outlets. I was curious, like, what were the different outlets that you were trying to discover while working two jobs? Because like you want to do what you love, but you also got to support the fam.
Yeah, 100%. So at that time, I was doing my brand. It's called Brown Eye Black Live Your Creed, and I was painting on denim jackets, man. And I just had like an ill message that I wanted to kind of spread and see what people thought about with the whole Brown Eye Black Live Your Creed thing. And I was doing that. I was like painting on canvases as well. I started doing that in 2020, in between like doing music and you know, just quitting my job, man, just being a full-time artist, you know what I mean? Like, God allowed me to do that. And, you know, I started seeing some of the benefits of that and, you know, started seeing growth in that, I should say, you know, mid-2020 to like late 2020, you know what I'm saying? But mainly, you know, I was painting on canvases. I did a few art shows in 2020. The Brown Eye Black Live Your Creed thing, I started doing that in 2017, I believe.
So, like, even with that now, too, because, like, quitting your job, like, to actually, you know, pursue your music career, that takes a lot of guts, and because you just never know what could happen now, too. So, when you actually took that leap of faith, like, what actually drove you to, like, you know what, I'm going to go live my dream?
What it really was, it was just a position that I was put in with my job at the time. You know, I'm big on, you know, just, you know, having a certain degree of self-respect and, you know, respecting others and, you know, getting respect from others. And I felt like at the time, you know, where I was employed, they just really weren't treating me like a human being. You know what I mean? Like they were looking at me more so like an employee number or, you know, a social security number as opposed to somebody who, you know, has feelings and emotions and deals with certain things in a certain way. So, you know, it was something that, you know, I really I had to make a decision on. And when I made the decision to, you know, go ahead and resign from that position that I was working with them, because I had been, you know, doing art and doing music for so long, it was only natural for me to just, you know, make the transition and see what I can make happen. And, you know, 2 days after I had left, you know, that's when I got, you know, the reach out from Conway, and you know, he told me that he has some interest in signing me, which I had never known before. So it just made a lot of sense. Like, man, like, you know, I'm pretty much right there. Like, I got a crazy opportunity in front of me. So, you know, I just got to stick with it. And, you know, since then, like I said, like, God has just been, you know, making a way for me to, you know, stay in this lane and continue to just pursue something that I've been pursuing since I was like 13 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like even like that, because like just to get like a hit out at a random by someone, because I'm pretty sure like before that you seen him getting on. It's like, damn, like only I can get that, and all of a sudden like out of nowhere. But I like to say it's destiny.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you put it that way, because you know it's hard to look at it that way sometimes, but at the same time, it's like, what else could it really be? You know what I mean? But I think it's hard for me to look at it that way, because I guess I look at it as like all the work that I put in, everything that I had to do. You know what I mean? It's just like, could it be destiny? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I feel like my life don't work that way. Because if it did, but I don't know. It's a crazy point you saying that. I don't know. It is something to think about for sure. But, you know, I'm just glad, man, that, you know, Khan, you know, he had the, you know, he was paying attention, you know what I'm saying, to everything that I was doing, even when I didn't know. Because me and Conway didn't grow up, you know what I mean, with each other. I didn't grow up knowing Conway. Yeah. He didn't know me, know his family, you know, and he knows plenty of people who, you know, who make music, and, you know, they're dope. They do their thing. And, you know, despite that, he chose to kind of shine a light on me and give me an opportunity to live out my dreams. So, help put me in position to live out my dreams. So, you know, I'm eternally grateful for that, for sure.
And I like how he lets you, an artist, because when you sign to another artist now too, you're like, should I do this? But he lets you do complete control, freedom, and because you're a star of your own now too. Like, even with like the $1 million dreams, I ain't gonna lie, first playthrough of that album, I must have ran that like back like 8 times, because bro, you're honest. Like, you're so honest. Like, I never had $1 million, so I'll be imagining how it feels. Like, bro, like, come on. Nobody's be that truthful nowadays.
Yeah, man, you know, and that's just a testament, man, to Conway's genius as a leader. You know what I'm saying? Like, he says to me all the time, you know, it would have been real easy for you to just, you know, get in position and, you know, do what I do, or, you know, try to replicate what I do. And, you know, he's a big fan of the fact that, like, I did it my way. You know what I mean? And he gave me the creative freedom to do that. And I think, you know, what I bring to the table as an artist and as a lyricist is something that isn't missing in the game, because there are other artists who, you know, I think have brought a degree of, like, real truth to their art. But because I'm coming from a place of, you know, working check to check and living check to check and, you know, working a regular job for so long, it hits different. You know what I mean? Because I'm really speaking from that perspective of just being a regular person who, you know, had dreams and aspired to be something.
Yeah, and I'm glad, like, you chose, like, this album to be, like, your most, well, I don't want to say most personal, because, like, we actually got a feeling of this, but even, like, with Burner Phone, like, you place yourself in the mind of an old cell phone now, too. Like, even with this record now, too, like, you got to be super creative with something like this. Like, it's like, it gave me, like, Nas, I gave you power vibes. Like, I ain't got a front on that now, too. But, like, you know, with the Jay Skees twist on it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, the funny thing about Burner Phone is that was, like, the second record that I made in, like, the first few sessions that I had with Conway. And I had the idea for the record already. And, you know, I really just wanted to bring it to life because I felt like it was a song that could, like, kind of change my life. You know what I mean? Like, because it's on that level of, like you said, like the Nas's, and, you know, when I think of Lupe Fiasco with, you know, Twilight Zone and, you know, all those different records, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, making that record, when we were in the session, you know, I sat there, I wrote it, and then I recorded it. And, you know, when I played it for Conway, because I was just trying to blow him away. I'm like, yo, like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to just, you know, make him say, yo, I got to sign him right now. And, you know, I sat there and I did it. And he was like, yo, like we played it a few times and he was like, yo, you wrote that like right now? Like you just wrote that? And I'm like, yo, I just wrote this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like kind of like one of those mind-blowing things. My mind was blown, you know what I mean? But I was just in that zone where I'm
Oh.
like, yep, I'm in the studio right now with Conway, you know, because I'm a fan first, you know what I mean? I was a fan first. And, you know, I just wanted to just like make him say, yo, nah, we gotta sign him now. So it was really just me trying to just show and prove and really prove that I belonged. You know what I'm saying?
You definitely do, man, because like I like how even like this song now too, Cemetery, like I ain't gonna lie, this is probably the most powerful song I heard in the last like 5 years, man, because you're teaching me new words. I ain't gonna front, man. Like even with so I'm curious now too. You have an old project titled In Search of Cemetery. Now I was wondering, could you tell us what that word means to you, sir?
Yeah, symmetry. So it's symmetry. So, the project is called "In Search of Symmetry," and the title of the song is "Symmetry." And what I meant by it was I was just searching for balance. You know what I mean? Throughout my whole life, I always felt like, you know, I was always getting almost like the short end of the stick. You know what I mean? Or I was always just put in unfavorable positions, or I was always losing, or you know. Just had unfavorable things happening, you know what I mean? Losing my dad when I was real young and, you know, going through, you know what I'm saying? Like coming home from school, like I say on the song, come home from school, not having electricity at the crib and, you know, going through, you know, my sophomore year of high school and only having one pair of shoes, the same pair of shoes that I had from freshman year. You know what I'm saying? Like all these different things, like, you know, where it was just challenge after challenge after challenge. And it's like, you know, you get to a point and it's like, yo, when are things gonna at least, you know, just be more stable? Or, you know what I'm saying? When is it gonna be my turn to, you know, be on the other side of this? You know what I'm saying? And of course you're gonna have your down moments and your down periods, and it's nothing wrong with that because that's where you learn. You learn who you are and you learn you know, what to do to navigate those periods. You know what I'm saying? But I always just felt like I was just always on the opposite side of it, like all the time. And, you know, in search of symmetry, it just means basically like, you know, I know that there's going to be those rough times and those hard times, but I'm in search of like the positive and the good things. And, you know, I want those things as well. You know what I'm saying? And it's a balance. And so you're looking for that symmetry, you know what I mean? Where, you know, you can exist on either side of it. You know what I mean? Because you got to experience, you can't have the good without the bad and vice versa. So, you know, that's basically what it means to me. And Symmetry was actually the very first song that I made in that same session I was telling you about. That was the very first song that I made. And you know, with making that song, I was in the studio with Conway, and you know, I just felt like everything I did in my career and in my life up to that point have brought me to that point. And so I just wanted to talk about my journey of getting to that point of being in the studio with Conway the Machine in New York City and just, you know, rapping and doing what I love, you know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to capture that. And I feel like I captured that moment like crazy, you know what I mean? And again, that was another record. Like when Conway heard it, he was like, you know, the first time he heard it, he was like, yo, I'm on that. You know what I'm saying? And you know, finally he ended up doing his verse a couple months later, and it just made it like that's like the illest song ever. You know what I mean? Because it's super personal, and I'm being super transparent on it, but it's also very uplifting because of the beat. You know what I mean?
I like how you put it like that now too, because like you're the type of artist. When I heard that second verse on that song, like that second verse made me a lifelong fan, because I know how it feels losing a parent. And when you lose your dad, you know, it's never really you never really heal from losing a parent. And I was curious, like, how you've been holding up, and maybe can I help others out there who actually look up to you and actually found you because of this song, because it's so uplifting.
I mean, you know, it definitely, like you say, you know, you don't really heal from it. I feel like it's a void that has always been left, you know what I'm saying, in my heart and inside of me, not having my dad there. But not just because of that, it's also because of other things that were tied to it, like, you know, the fact that my dad had a drug addiction and some of the things that happened and like tied in with that, you know, because I've been through a lot of things. And so, you know, I think when it initially happened, because you don't know how to feel about something like that when you're a kid, right? You know, it happens. And, you know, I think when I was young, I used to always blame myself for it for some reason. Like, okay, this is my fault, because I didn't know any other way to kind of feel about it. I didn't get counseling, and I didn't really know what to feel. And, you know, since then, you know, I've gotten older, and I think I've said, you know, it wasn't my fault. You know what I mean? Like, and I had to, the thing is, you have to accept that. You have to know that and then accept the fact that it's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, things happen, and, you know, it's not always tied to you, especially when you're a child like that. You know what I mean? And that was, again, it was something that I just had to come to grips with. And, you know, once I think I accepted that, it was a little easier for me to accept that my dad passed away, and that, you know, I wouldn't have him in my life. Because, again, you know, with that happening too, it created something in me at a young age that made me say, okay, I need to step up for my family. And I was the youngest, you know what I mean, in my family, my immediate family. But it created something in me that made me say, you know, I have to be there for my family, and I have to do that. I have to be there for them in a financial way. And I need to like do it now. So that was like one of the reasons why I had always went so hard with music. I started rapping at, you know, 11, 12 years old. And it was always something that I felt like I could be a provider through that, because obviously I was too young to work and things like that, but I felt like I could be, you know, a pillar in my family, with music, you know what I'm saying? Which is what I always wanted, because my father passed away when I was so young, and we didn't have the stability, and we didn't have things, and we didn't have money. So the music is a byproduct of that. Like I always say, if my father wouldn't have passed away, I wouldn't even be a rapper. So I find that, you know, they always say you got to find the silver lining in any tragedy or, you know, negative things or bad things that happen in your life. And it's so hard to do that. You know what I mean? Like, especially again, when you're a kid, when you're so young, you don't even know what that even means. I never even knew, I didn't know what that meant until I was probably 25 years old. So, you know, finding that meaning, you know, of finding the silver lining and accepting, you know, the things that happen to you, you can't be always be a victim. You have to accept them for what they are, because they make you who you are. So once I kind of was cognizant of that, and you know, I was able to process that, that was like something that really, really helped me. You know what I mean? Because again, I wouldn't be the person that, you know, may be inspiring others, or, you know, people look to for inspiration, or people look to for guidance, if that wouldn't happen. So, you know, there's always a silver lining. There's always a blessing. God does everything for a reason. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I feel like, you know, God put me here to be an inspiration to others. And even though I did have to go through that, it's like, you know, I got to use my story to help other people. You know what I'm saying? And no matter what, it's similar for other people as well. No matter what you go through, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of navigating and finding that silver lining.
Even like, well, it's just because I'm so worried, even with the speech impediment, like sometimes you just relate to like certain parts of somebody's story. It's like, damn, like now look at me, like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I really do like that answer now, and I hope somebody takes that and actually goes with it now, because I'm gonna lie, because you're one of my favorite, just because of that one verse right there, because that verse right there, man, that verse can help a lot of people.
Man, thank you, bro. I'm glad that, you know, really, really affected you and touched you in that way. You know what I mean? 'Cause when, you know, a lot of things that I talked about on this album, I've never even talked to anybody else about. Like, if you didn't know this, like my mom would know this stuff. You know what I mean? But I didn't talk to anybody about this ever. Like, not any ex-girlfriends or, you know, my closest friends. Nobody knows that, you know, I used to have to go to speech, and I had a speech impediment, and, you know, nobody knows that I used to have a piggy bank, and, you know, my dad took the money out of it, and, you know, I cried for like a day and a half about it. People don't know these stories. So I know that there's other people out there where, you know, they may have had similar things happen. And again, that's why I wanted to, I was really aiming to make things super relatable for, you know, for the people that have been through real things like that.
Was it like therapy when you completed the album? Like you felt like you got a lot of things off your chest that you've been holding in for so long?
It really was, to be honest with you. I think with making the album and, you know, with making certain songs, it helped me navigate some of the ways that I felt. Because again, I didn't go to therapy for a lot of things that I talked about. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just getting those feelings out and being able to just, you know, talk about them and then seeing people's reaction to it, you know, and having people like you hit me up and, you know, say, yo, like, I really like this song, really helped me get through this, or, you know, it helped me understand you a little better. It makes a world of difference, at least to me, you know what I mean? Because I'm able to just talk about it.
Yeah, and like you just never know what somebody can relate to.
Exactly.
Now, I just got a couple more questions and I'll let you go, my guy. Now, for Ekin 3, man, now you chose to end it on your debut album now, too. Now, I was curious, like, did you record all three in one session? And how come you didn't showcase it on one of your like Metal Gear Solid theme projects, sir? Because, yeah, I ain't gonna front. Those Metal Gear Solid projects I heard. Theme projects I heard.
Nah, man, I appreciate it. So I don't know if you skipped over it or whatever, but though, so Ekin one, Ekin, the original Ekin, is on Revolver Ocelot, and then Ekin 2 is on
Wow, check
Air.
that.
Yeah, so those are on the Metal Gear Solid joints. But I think so. When I made the first two, so I didn't make them all in the same session. They were
Okay.
all made when recording those projects. And so, when I did the first one, it was more so just like a thing where I was like, yo, I just want to try something. You know what I mean? Nobody's done this before that I could think of. I'm gonna just, you know, name all the Nike shoes and Jordan joints. You know what I mean? Because Ekin is Nike spelled backwards, and it's an actual position at Nike. And those Ekins, they know everything about the Nike product, the Nike shoes, the Nike apparel, everything. So it's basically a play on that. Like, instead of me talking about, you know, obviously all the apparel and everything, I'm just talking about the sneakers that I love. And I did the first one. And nobody really said anything about it because I don't think people understood what I was doing. I did the second one, and the second one ended up, you know, getting some, you know, playlist love. And, you know, I started seeing people, they would tweet and, you know, leave in my Instagram comments, oh, yo, Jay Skeez is a sneaker bar king. Like, this song is crazy. Da 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 da. And so when I saw that it picked up a little bit, I said, nah, this is gonna be something that, like, I'm gonna be known for. You know what I mean? Almost like Joe Budden with like his Mood Music, or
Ah,
when you think about Rick Ross and the Maybach music,
music, yeah.
you know what I'm saying? One, two, three, four. So this is gonna be my thing. You know what I mean? Like, my favorite artists, there's certain things. Like, I'm a student of the game, so there's certain things that your favorite artists, they're gonna do, and this is like my thing. You know what I mean? Like, Jay Skeez is known for the Ekin series, and so when I was you know, I was crafting the album, and I got, you know, the beat from Mitch Arizona. I was like, yo, this beat is crazy. Like, this is perfect for Ekin 3. And, you know, I'm like, at first, actually, Ekin 3 wasn't even going on my album. I had actually made it with intent to put it on my next Metal Gear theme solid or Metal Gear Solid theme project. That was what I actually made it for. And then, you know, I wasn't sure if it would even have a place on the album. But then when I was thinking about how I was talking about myself and I was describing myself in every song, I was like, there's no way that this can't go on my album because this is part of me. I love sneakers. Like, this is who I am. And it just made so much sense. And, you know, I decided to put it on the album, man. And yo, had I not, I don't think the album would be the same because
I was
this
gonna
is
say
one.
the first, I don't think it would like kind of. I'll be like, damn, yo, there's something missing to this.
Yeah, it's like, yo, this is one of the songs on there that people really love. And I would have never thought that. You know what I mean? It's always like that. Like, whenever I've put out a project, the songs that I think people are gonna love the most, they never do. And the ones that I think, you know, maybe, I don't know, it's like kind of on the fence. Maybe some people will like it, maybe some people won't. They always end up loving it. Like, that's their favorite one every single time. And that was how I felt about Ekin 3. Like, I was like, yo, I don't know. But I put it on there for me. You know what I mean? And that's how you got to make art anyway. Like, you got to make the art for yourself, and then you let people digest it and see what they like.
Now, like even with the Metal Gear Solid projects, like I like how you made Oculent Revolver, represent the first one, the second one represent number two. So I'm just assuming that the third one's gonna be, on the, Snake Eater. That was another PS2 one.
Yeah, man. I think what I'm gonna do for this third one, I got kind of a little, I got a little bit of a different approach that I'm gonna take with it, even down to like the title. But obviously, it's still gonna be, it's gonna be still Metal Gear Solid theme. But I have some different things that I want to do with this next one that I'm really like, I'm really excited about, bro. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I haven't started working on it yet, but I know once I do, it's gonna be fire. Like, you know what I mean? But I think with making those projects, man, it just allowed me to really introduce myself to the fan base and to the game. And it was something that nobody else was really doing. You know what I mean? Again, like even going back to the Ekken series, I wanted to, and I've always been like this, like as an artist, I've always like strived to create that separation. Like, I call myself the separation of Jordan mids and Jordan highs, and it's because, like, obviously the whole Jordan thing, and I love the Jordans, but also I like to separate myself from other artists. You know what I mean? I want to do something different. So it's like, you got to pay attention to me, because whether you like it or not, it's like, nah, he's doing something different though. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And so with me doing the Metal Gear theme project, it's like, yo, nobody's doing that. And it was
Oh
almost,
yeah, exactly.
you know what I'm saying? When I was thinking about it and what I wanted to make for myself, the inspiration from that came from West Side Gunn and Conway when they were coming into the game and they were doing, the wrestling
Wrestler.
thing. Had all the wrestling skits and, the artwork and everything. It was wrestling based. And it was like, yo, nobody else is doing that. Like, why are you doing that? Like, now I want to go and listen. And it's the same thing with my projects. Like, why is he doing that? Like, for
What
what?
I said, I was like, yeah, I need to check this out.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's different. You know what I'm saying?
It's very different. Well, Jay Skis, man, you're about to have another amazing year, man. It's a lot more work, man. I just want to thank you very much for appearing on the show, my guy. And yo, I wish you many, many more blessings, man. But like I said, you earned a fan for me, my guy. Is there any last words before I like to let you go?
Man, I'd just like to say, man, thank you for having me here on the show, man. This is dope. I love all the questions that you asked. They were different. Salute, man. And yo, everybody that's tuned in and listening, make sure you keep running up Abolished Uncertainties, man. Keep running up the streams on the album. Keep running up the streams on Pain Provided Profit as well. That's me and Conway's album. It's out now. And we do everything for Weez. Foes up.
Hey, with that being said, I'd like to welcome everybody to the show, Jay Ski. For Jay Skis, salute, my guy.
Salute, my guy. Peace.